Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
FNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station, ESPN, 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank here with a question for Barry Laminek there. I'm not going to give you the player's name, but I'm going to throw out a statistic for you.
Okay.
I'm going to see if you can guess it.
Uh-oh.
This gentleman has a league-high 8 solo tackles for loss in 5 games this season. Had 8 solo tackles for loss all of last season. But now, a league-high 8 solo tackles for loss in 5 games. Can you name him?
Clowney.
You're exactly right.
Really?
Yes.
Look at me.
Look at you. But also, this is the guy that I said stepped up and played very well against the Vikings, and you gave me those crazy eyes.
Yeah, he's not doing anything to impress me, really. He certainly isn't living up to the number one pick potential that he has.
All right, let me throw this out at the top of the hour. We got one in the books, two to go, and we like to get kind of questions that pique your interest and get you to respond. And I got one for you.
Okay.
You and I had a discussion the other day, and I said...
Was it a discussion or a fight?
Well,
an argument?
Both.
Did
it's
we
both.
Argue?
In most cases, it's both.
That's good, though.
Yeah, we're like a married couple.
We
very often agree. Very
You're
often,
the chick, though, right?
Very often do we agree.
You're
no,
the chick?
No, absolutely not. You like what? Cats and wear white jeans. So
here's,
and I'm not going to the moves. All right. So here's the thing, because you know they are shapely.
Low.
They are shapely,
and they're always high. I don't know why my nipples are always
because
erect.
It's always 3 degrees in here.
I don't know why that is though. I like even at home, nipples are always at attention. I don't get it.
I hate to bring this topic up on radio, but it's true. My nipples could cut glass.
Yeah.
75% of the time. No idea why.
Yeah. I don't get it.
But if anybody's a good glass cutter out there and they need some help, I can probably help you on weekends.
Hey, before you get to your question.
Yes. And it's a good one.
Can I give you a compliment?
Please.
From the text line. Not from me, of
All
course.
All right.
Obviously not from me.
Yes.
From the text line. Because you always say I don't read texts that get...
Go ahead. You like to bash me.
All right.
The texters help you out.
This is a good text. It says, Trent Dilfer... Maybe Joe has some pool. Maybe you guys are for real.
Well, if you believe that, spread the word. Because
based on
all the back and forth and all the nonsense that's going out there with other stations and other hosts, all we want to do is your destination for just entertainment, sports, knowledge, and fun. And we just want you to be a part of the show. We think if you try us, you'll like us, and you'll stay with us. So please spread the word. We'd really appreciate that.
And then there was a dude that said he got whooped with wooden paddles, leather belts, switches, and soap in the mouth. So... Apparently,
was that a hobby or was that a punishment?
Apparently, this is the child of Mommy Dearest. I have no idea. Yeesh. That sounds crazy.
Or Kathy Bates what was that movie with James Caan?
Misery?
Misery.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, boy. Okay, so let me throw this out there to Texans fans, okay? Because we've been talking about Brock, then we were in it, and then it transformed itself into, you know, are you worried? And then I said this is a make-or-break game for the Texans for this season. Based on the rest of their schedule, they still have some really tough opponents coming up, like Denver and Green Bay. But this week, against their hated rivals, the Colts, and because it's a divisional game, and because they've played so poorly in games where they really had to play well, do you feel like this is the make-or-break game for the Texans, even though it's a little early in the season, to say if they step up and they play well and they win at home and they get the divisional game against the team that's closest to them in the Colts, that this can... prove that they're back on track and they can go farther? And if they lose this game against the Colts, are you willing to say it's panic time in Houston?
So the question is,
is this a make or break game on Sunday night?
All right. I'm going to go on record and say no.
I know you are.
I don't believe it is, because if you look at their schedule, they've got, after this, they've got the Broncos.
Right.
But then they've got a pretty decent schedule with the Lions, Jags, Raiders, and Chargers. And then they play the Packers on December 4th.
Don't sleep on the Raiders.
Now, I've said, I absolutely am not sleeping on the Raiders. But what I said a couple days ago, and I stand by that, is if you look at their schedule, I think them going 4-4, starting with that Vikings loss, is not out of the question. So that would still leave them with a winning record with three games to go against the Jags, Bengals, and Titans.
The problem is it's such a bad division that whoever wins the division is in, obviously, but whoever doesn't is probably going to be out in the cold. And that's why, again, I say Sunday's so important, because it's a game against the team that if you lose to, you're now tied with for the division. And they have the advantage of the tiebreaker having won the first game going into, of course, the second game that they will play in Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the big part of that.
So that's the other kind of precursor to all that. But also because of the fact that Brock has faced so much scrutiny, because O'Brien has faced a ton of scrutiny now. Because whether you want to say he's on the hot seat or not, let's say the crosshairs are firmly on two guys over on Kirby right now, and that happens to be the head coach and the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So you can quiet and stifle a lot of the critics and give yourself a huge dose of confidence if you can beat a team that's been a bugaboo for you since you've gotten into this division and since your creation into the league. So I think Sunday is a bigger, I won't say, yes, make or break. It could be. But it is a huge, huge, huge game for the Texans that can dictate a ton about the rest of how their rest of the season goes.
Okay. Well, so like when I talked about that 4-4, this was going into the game against the Vikings. And so I said, you lose against the Vikings, you probably beat the Colts, lose against the Broncos, probably beat the Lions. So that was 2-2 right there. And that puts them at what? 5-4?
Yeah.
5-4. Mm-hmm. And then they go 2-2 again. That's 7-6. And then they win two out of their last three. They're 10-6.
Nine and seven.
That's good enough to win this division.
Wow, that's just absolutely.
But that would be 3 years in a row of 9-7,
which isn't good enough. You have to make improvements. Have to strive to make improvements in this league. And just winning the division and going 9-7 three consecutive years, in my mind, is not good enough. Just like we criticize Charlie Stronger, we criticize coaches that say they have to win, they have to show progress, they have to do these things. I think you have to show some signs of progress, especially when going into this season, it was different than the others, in which you weren't going to play rotating wheel of quarterbacks, uh-huh. And you weren't going to play, I'm not going to spend a ton of money in free agency. They went out and spent money, they got the players, and they prepared themselves to take the next step.
That's why
I think they have to take that next step. Now, if they win the division and win their first-round playoff game...
Okay. But here's why I disagree with you. Look at what they've had at the quarterback position since Bill O'Brien took over from the 2-14 team. And so, he's not had any consistency at that position yet. Now, a year or two into Brock Osweiler, if they go 9-7 two times in a row, then yeah, maybe that becomes the issue, right? Like, then they're not stepping forward. But right now, they had four quarterbacks start this for the team last year, mm-hmm. And now they supposedly are settled on a single quarterback.
But that's
if
the
he
problem.
Goes 9-7 and then they don't improve next year, then I'm with you. But right
that's
now,
the problem, though.
I think
you went out
they're
and got
okay.
your guy, and your guy's not performing.
If they go 9-7, then he didn't do too bad. He did what
I'm
it took
sure
four
the
quarterbacks
out
to
there
do
are
last
not
week.
Be pleased with not doing too bad when you want them to get to the Super Bowl.
I doubt anyone is going to be bitching if they make the
playoffs. I want to know what they think.
Okay.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. I want you to text. I want you to call. I want you to tweet us. I want you to give
Drive
me your
up
thoughts.
Here.
Lamont, El Jefe.
Yeah. Where's
Josh,
Lamont?
Josh. All of our guys. I want to hear from you guys. Are you good with another 9-7 season and a division win, and then you get it in the shorts in the playoffs, or is this a make-or-break game on Sunday leading towards a make-or-break season for Bill O'Brien and company? ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Rolling through the start of the football week on a Thursday afternoon. Barry Laminek and Joel Blank with you until 4 p.m. Nick Sharara behind the glass, and we're manning the dials, watching the text, tweeting back to you, good listeners, and also taking your phone calls. And before we get to you, JD, hold tight, because Barry is going to span the internet to give some of the latest responses that we've got to our question, in which we basically threw it out there. Is it a make or break on Sunday for the Texans against the Colts?
Yeah, somebody texted in, I'll be happy with a 10-6 year with a playoff win. Hashtag Trump 16, so you know that they don't know what they're talking about.
but they know locker room talk.
Yeah, somebody said, I really do like you guys, but I miss Russillo and Cannell. Oh, boy. Swap time slots with Salisbury. That was Casino J. That's cold-blooded, man. That's a lot of hate. A lot of hate on the text.
It was good, but hate. I mean, we
appreciate that you like us, but you can't be hating on the rest of our squad. No, we're all a team here. Yeah. Somebody said this is a make-or-break game for Bill O'Brien, at least. The record doesn't matter at the end of the year if you can't win big games. We will always be the team that can just beat weak teams. That was from Joe in Spring. I didn't know Joe played for the Texans. It still bothers me when people say we. But I guess as a fan, that's fine. Just as long as the radio guys
don't
do it.
I'm guilty of it every now and then.
Do you drop a... Not on air, though. If you drop a we on air, I will come back there you
let's
like the
Barry
guy...
come in on a Friday and listen to the three we's, which are actually the four we's of Travis Johnson.
But Trapp played for him. If you played for the team, then you can drop we.
I think that's a lot of
we's. Talking about the fact that
like, you can drop on Wisconsin lacrosse.
But there's four we's.
So it doesn't matter.
So here's my thing.
But you play for Wisconsin lacrosse, right?
Yes.
So you can say we when you talk about them.
When
but
I talk
if you
about
say
the Badgers,
we,
yes,
you can't say we.
But
I won't allow it.
This is what I used to do. When I was in charge of announcers, I used to instruct them, no matter what, don't use we.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. But there are other people on other stations in this market still. And I think you lose credibility because you have to be critical of these teams when you refer to them as we.
Yeah. It's
so
just
I would
not
agree
a good
with
look.
That.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Nick,
I would definitely
Nick,
agree
if
with
you
that.
Do it, man, I swear to God, I'll come back there and do what the guy on the court should have done to you.
Ooh, Nick.
us Rockets.
We and us.
I didn't
you're
say,
lucky
I didn't
we're
say,
on air.
Us
or Rockets, all right.
But we and us are both. And El Jefe, thank you for finally rearing your head and making you know that you're listening. But he says, I'm fairly confident that this team might be able to go undefeated against the AFC South. Maybe. One loss at Indy.
I would agree with that.
Okay. It's not a good division, but if Bortles gets hot, I think you have to even be concerned there. Daniel Davis says
that
the Texans lose to the Colts, justified or not, Bill O'Brien's seat will go from warm to hot.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I think it already is toasty.
What does JD say?
JD, what do you want to say about your team, the Houston Texans? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. The thing is, man, when they brought in Osweiler, that got everybody excited because they finally kind of hitched their wagon to who they thought was going to be the franchise guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bill O'Brien kind of got by and he made the team look decent with, you know, mid to lower tier guys like Hoyer and Fitzpatrick and mixing a little TJ Yates and Case Keenum. And so whenever, you know, you bring in Osweiler, it looks like, oh, they finally found their guy. And like most of the people in Houston, I applauded them for that because at least they were doing something. And, you know, people that say, well, why can't we get an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees or Tom Brady? Man, those guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah, right.
And teams that have those guys, they don't get rid of them. So the only way to get a guy is to take a chance and see what you got. I mean, you know, plenty of guys.
JD, Brett you bring Favre. Up an interesting point because that's how the Texans got Matt Schaub because he was playing behind Matt Ryan. So there are guys out there that are dying for their chance that just might not get it. That's why Aaron Rodgers, the Packers knew what they had and would not let. They actually forced Brett Favre out after a team that got to the NFC Championship game because they knew if they didn't, they would lose Aaron Rodgers and that was too much to risk. So, yeah, I mean, you either got to do it in the draft. Or you and look, we've seen it this year. There's a ton of good rookie quarterbacks in this league, but you either got to do it from the draft or you got to take a chance on being able to sign a guy like the Texans did or trade for a guy that may have all the talent in the world in your mind and you better be able to have a good sample size. But, you know, you might be able to acquire through a trade because they're stuck behind a guy that's going to be the steady everyday guy.
Yeah, they rolled the dice and, you know, as of right now, five games in, it's looking like they might have crapped out, but it's five games in. I mean, we got to give him a little time. You know, I'm willing to be patient, but he's not looking really good. Now, here's a question for you guys.
Okay.
And this is a tough one because you got to factor in the contract and the money involved. Right now, if you had to make the decision today, would you trade? I mean, obviously, this would never happen. But hypothetically, would you trade Osweiler and his $72 million contract and just kind of swallow your pride and say, well, we probably shouldn't have done that for, you know, somebody like a Hoyer who's probably not making much of anything.
God,
no. Better numbers.
You had a great question until you threw out that. I mean, there's no way that you can set a franchise back. And Barry, obviously, you can answer this too. But my answer to that would be, now, if you would have said for Eli Manning, if you would have said for, you know, Sam Bradford next year, or even if you said Tony Romo this year, if that was a scenario that obviously we're not saying is realistic but possible, would you say, because what your comment was before that is something I was with. Look, I don't think the sample size was big enough to give Brock Osweiler that contract, but I also don't think the sample size is big enough now to say he can't still be your franchise quarterback. He's just obviously not playing very well.
Yeah.
So from a trade perspective, would I be willing to trade out of the Brock Osweiler contract year one, five games in? To me, it would depend on who you get back, because I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Vikings do next year if Teddy Bridgewater's healthy. You only have a small window when you are that competitive that you can possibly win it. Minnesota has that now. So by the time Teddy Bridgewater gets good, if you bail out on Sam Bradford, I think you might be hurting the rest of the team. So from the standpoint of the Texans, if you really thought this was a Super Bowl caliber team and you just needed a quarterback, I would be okay with taking a shot at a Romo and bailing on a Brock Osweiler because it would make you better now.
Well, but you would have had to be
Romo. It doesn't have to be Romo, but yeah, someone with experience that is ready to play and win right now.
Well, but you would have had to have gotten that far to be able to make that decision, right? And if you did, then you would ride with the quarterback that got you there.
Well, no, because in this case, you realize that, again, you're kind of in a rut of 9-7. You're going to win the division. You're going to get to the playoffs. In the 2 years against Cincinnati, you win a playoff game. Against Kansas City, you lose. But you've proven when you get up against the big boys, the Giants of the NFL, you're just not there yet. So if there's a guy out there that can let you get there now instead of waiting to see if he will mature and become that franchise quarterback, if there's a franchise quarterback out there that at least has been a franchise quarterback in the past that you can get now, I would do it.
Here's why I think all of this is silly. Okay. All right. We are five games into watching Brock Osweiler as a starting quarterback for his team, right? They brought him in to be the quarterback for this team. This is his team right now. And we're five games in and he's 3-2, or they're 3-2. And the thing that I don't like, Texans fans are panicking, and I get it. That's a fan reaction. It's sure. Knee jerk, and that's fine, but everyone should relax a little. Number one, the Texans did what they needed to do and what the best move was on the board. It didn't make sense to go out and draft because you didn't know what you were going to get. It didn't make sense to go out and sign, you know, a retread like Brian Hoyer because you knew what you were going to get there. They did the best thing that they could do, which was go after what they felt like was the best option on the board and spend the money. And here's the thing that they did that I like about the move is that it's only 2 years. Mm-hmm. Everyone should settle down a little.
Of it, you mean.
Yeah. After 2 years, you can cut bait and start over. But everyone's panicking. Oh, well, we need to trade him for Brian Hoyer. That's just silly. I mean, just let the kid get a full. It's like Keenan was saying yesterday. He hasn't even played a full season. Yeah,
that's why I said the sample size may not have been big enough to pass judgment.
He's still in the mode to make rookie mistakes.
Five games in. I think it's too soon to cut bait.
Yeah.
But you can also let us know what you think on that. We are here until 4 p.m. We are ESPN 97.5. Yeah, because.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, until 4 p.m. Threw a couple things out there for you, the listener, for the participatory part of the radio show, and that is where you guys get to chime in with your opinions. Whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, we'll be the ones to judge that and send you on your way. But in the meantime, we'd love to have you be a part of the show and chime in with your opinions, because this is the team that matters to you guys more than anybody on the planet. And we want to make sure we're doing what you like to do in terms of talking about your team. So we're not just going to give you stats and numbers. We will give you some quotes. But we threw it out there. How big of a game is Sunday's game against the Colts? You tell us, because it's a divisional game. It's a team that you have trouble with. It's the closest team to you in the division. If you lose it, you're tied and you're one down in the tiebreaker with the Colts. If you win it, you got a pad and you probably tell everybody to do what my man Barry said in Aaron Rodgers' terms, just relax. You can do that if you get a big win on national TV with the whole world watching against a team that you need to beat. And then with that, we also kind of parlayed that into our second discussion, which was with Brock Osweiler. Regardless of whether the sample size was big enough to make him your franchise quarterback, is it fair And is it justified to say after five games of this season, you've got a 3-2 record, you're in first place in the division, but you've lost to two teams that you want to be able to say you can compete with, let alone beat, because those are two of the upper echelon teams in the NFL. Is it too soon for those critics that are out there, and we hear you rumbling, that it's time to pull the plug on Brock Osweiler and or he might not be your franchise guy? So we want to hear from you. We want you to chime in. Barry is monitoring the text, so we can do that, 713-780-ESPN. You can call in and be a part of the show like Josh, and we're going to get to you in a minute. And you can also tweet us at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at No Hit Nick. So with that, Barry, let's go to Josh on the phone who wants to talk about Brock. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, so I had a quick thing. All these people that are talking about trading Brock and all that stuff, I think they're just being a little bit too trigger happy. I wouldn't write him off yet just because he is doing okay. I mean, he didn't perform the best the last few games, but the Texans are at the top of the division. If they do trade him, at what point do other quarterbacks that you can potentially get decide they don't want to come here because you get rid of your quarterbacks when they have a few bad games or they just won't stick with the guy?
It's a good point because flipping sports, but there is that kind of mentality with the Rockets because basically if Daryl Morey starts treating players like assets instead of valuable commodities that are actually human beings and part of your team and your family and your infrastructure, and you bail on them quickly and or you get them just so they can help you get somebody else, guys don't want to play here anymore. And that's the kind of thing you face. And you're right. It's a valid point that if you pull the plug and you bail on Brock and you do it quickly, how apt to the next free agent or player or whoever it is, how apt are they going to go, I want to go to Houston because I know when I sign there, I'm making a choice to go where I want to go, but I might not stay there because they may not keep me very long.
Yeah, and you know what? He did that last year a little bit when he pulled Ryan Mallett like right away, right? I find it because he had a press conference today, and there was a quote that he talked about emotion, and that's what this is all about, right? It's the emotion of five games in or one half with Ryan Mallett or whatever. So let's play that quote because I found this interesting when he talked about it.
Yeah, emotion, I wouldn't say has anything to do with the sell scout. You know, that's, I mean, you gotta. You know, you have to, in this league, you really have to do a great job, as good a job as you can do, of removing emotion from every decision that you make. I mean, you really do. Now, that's easier said than done, but you really have to try to do that on a week-to-week, day-to-day, hour-to-hour, during the season, you have to remove emotion from every decision that you make.
Which I find hilarious because this is the same guy that benched Ryan Mallett with a knee-jerk reaction right away, which caused more controversy and was the beginning of the end of Ryan Mallett as a Texan. So I think he learned from that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he's still that. But I think that's part of what he's talking about there subliminally is, listen, I've made those mistakes last year. That's why part of the reason why we had four quarterbacks start for us in one year. So let's ride this out. I mean, this was the guy we went out and chased to get. Let's see where this goes. I mean, we're five games in. So it's good to hear that because the fans, you're always going to have some emotion. And you should. You should be passionate and you should want to win right away. But I think it's a little soon to be talking about the demise of Brock Osweiler as a Texan.
And Josh, thanks for the call. It was what I thought it was and who I thought it was, El Jefe. And you have no one to blame but Barry.
Yeah.
Because he said I had more to add and they hung up on me.
Well, sometimes the callers just like ramble.
Josh,
don't get to the question.
Your chops again. I'm just.
Oh no, that's not to El Jefe. No, El Jefe doesn't ramble, but you got to be careful.
That was him on the phone, by the way.
Because then you get into this spiral of long ass questions, and it becomes boring. Listen, as a radio listener, I know you're driving around, you hear some of these calls. It's not easy, but CJ's not going to do that.
CJ, you better bring it, buddy. After that introduction, I mean, you have got to be on your game. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to call because I heard you guys talking about Brock Osweiler, and I'm a Bronco fan, so when I heard he was leaving at the beginning of the year, I kind of wanted him to not do well, but listening to, I live here in Houston, and listening to all the hate and everyone bail on him so quick, I think he can do well and everyone needs to give him a chance. But one of the things that the reason he went 5-2 in Denver last year is because he wasn't given free rein to do whatever he wants. He was structured under Kubiak's play calling, and I think he could. I think he can actually strive here, but he has to be put on a little bit of a leash. And some of these decisions, some of the things that, you know, he was excited to do when he came here of, oh, I get to make my own calls at the line. I get to do this, get to do that. Try pulling him back, see how he does under a little bit of a tighter leash, and then you guys can assess more,
All right. Not
just attack him for this.
CJ, let me ask you a question. We had a caller that was a Bronco fan yesterday as well, and we got their opinion on this because it's good insight. But you watched him as a Broncos quarterback. What I think you're saying now is, at least for the short term, you need him to be more of a game manager than trying to be a guy that's going to save the day and do it all. But when you saw him in Denver, and you saw this guy take over in a big game, win a game against the Patriots, do a lot of positive things, were you thinking that this was a guy that should be a game manager? Were you thinking this is the franchise quarterback of the future? And if so, and or not, what's changed?
Well, when I saw him last year, to be honest, after having Peyton Manning the first, I don't know, eight games where we had 19 interceptions, when he came in, I actually felt a little bit of relief because I saw him taking care of the ball more. So when I saw him, did I think he was going to be good for Denver if they re-signed him? Yes, I did, because he was that game manager. It wasn't so much that he was going out there and winning the game for us. He was told one simple thing. Look, we have a great defense. We have a strong running game. Don't go out there and make foolish decisions and turn the ball over. So if he could do that same thing here, you're going to see him gain more confidence, and then things are eventually going to open up for him more. I mean, he's trying to step out and just rock and fire, and this is what, his 11th game ever playing in the NFL? You normally see, essentially, he's a rookie quarterback, so you want to see him develop over a longer period of time, not just 11th start and he gets to make any decision he wants.
Man, CJ, that was the best call that we've ever had. You are the voice of reason.
I'm not going best call we've ever had, but it was a good call.
I thank you for being the voice of reason that this town needs. Because on the text lines, they're also losing their minds. Somebody said Brock is a crock, not worth the money, takes too many sacks. I will agree with it, but that offensive line is trash too. So let's not put that all on Brock. Yeah, he holds the ball a little long, but other people are saying Brock is a mistake. If Elway thought he was a franchise QB, they would have kept him. Listen, there's a lot that goes into that, but my point, and to CJ's point, and I think Joel, to a certain degree, just don't panic yet. It's not time.
It's
five games in.
It's a small window of five games. It's a little quick to pull the plug completely. Now, is there reason for concern? Yes.
Sure.
But at the same time, I still think you got to give the guy some time, and that's why I think this is such a big game on Sunday night. And I know that because the game Sunday is here, and it's a Sunday night football game, a lot of you people are going to be driving to the game. Well, guess what? A lot of you people that can drive to the game, you've got a car, but you've also probably got an older car that's probably laying around. It might be in the garage. It might be out in the field. It might be in storage. You might have a car, a boat, a trailer, a motorcycle, and you just are trying to figure out when you're going to get around to getting rid of it. Well, I've got an idea for you. Houston Can's Cars for Kids program is phenomenal because it gives kids a second chance. You can take kids that maybe got a first opportunity and didn't do the right things with it to try and do some things in school and give them the opportunity to succeed and make something of themselves so that they can go on to a very, very good life. Houston Can Academies have focused and done everything for you so you don't have to do a single thing except for pick up the phone or get online, and they'll do the rest and make sure you get a great tax deduction, and at the same time make sure that old clunker, working or not, is put to good use for kids that can do a lot with it. Because what they do is they then take these cars and these trailers and all these different things and they turn them into money, and money that they can then infuse into the Houston community of children as they try and get an education. That means if they need a bus pass, they'll take care of it. If they need a warm meal, they'll take care of that. If a student needs glasses to read, they're going to get them for them. It's so important, and that's why your donation is more important than it ever has been. They'll come to your car. They'll come and tow it away. It's free of charge. They process all the paperwork. Your donation, completely tax deductible. Like I said, you get a nice, nice tax deduction for your taxes this year. Get rid of that old clunker It's taking space in your garage and create an opportunity for a kid in need. They accept cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, and more, and they don't have to be running, as I said. You donate today, you will get a whole bunch of benefits, and you can mention you heard it here on ESPN 97.5 FM. All you got to do, 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Remember, you can write off the car, but not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. This one for them hood girls,
them good girls, straight masterpieces. Hey, y'all. Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Nick Sharara behind the glass. We're here till 3, no, till 4. We're here till 4.
Why are you cutting us short, Joel?
I was going to say 3:59. We're here till 4, and we've been firing you guys up a little bit, some more than others.
Yeah.
Barry, it's shocking that you have your big ladle and wooden spoon in the soup. And stirring the pot.
I pissed off some people.
Yeah, you did.
You know, of all the stuff I've said on this show, which is where at the break you brought that up, you said of all the stuff he said when you started off your conversation, I thought you were going to be talking about me, but you were talking about Trump.
Right.
Yeah, so apparently I pissed off a Trump supporter because earlier I jokingly, which if you don't know how I am by now, I don't know. This maybe I'm just not for you, but apparently I pissed off a Trump supporter who said that what a dumb comment. We're the ones out here sweating, making a dollar. You don't know anything about that. Never mind the fact that I was a carpenter, painter, and worked on tar roofs for like 10 years before I ever got into an office job. But okay. He said it was an unnecessary comment and that he's leaving and I should keep my mouth in check. But the good news is stick around because I hate Hillary too. So I don't like either of them. So I'm going to talk trash about both of them at some point. So just stick around because you know what? Pretty much we're screwed as a country. If that's the best two people we could come up with, we're screwed. So
yeah.
So stick around. If I haven't offended you yet, I probably will. Just let me get to your candidate. It'll take a minute, but
we don't get
there.
Political. But no. It's a pretty safe bet to say that if you took someone off the street that it could at least talk about policies instead of the independent candidate when asked about anything makes like the weirdest noise in America and says he got tongue-tied after going blah, 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 and
hell, I didn't know what Aleppo was. I'm not gonna lie,
but he scared the hell out of
the reporter.
Of course, it's not my job, right?
But yeah, well, whatever.
But if you could take anyone that has a pretty good grasp on politics and stick him in the race right now,
yeah,
they'd win.
I would literally vote for
Ken Bone.
If you're
Republican or Democrat.
I would rather vote for Ken Bone right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I would rather vote for one of these
Ken
creepy...
Bone could win.
Yeah, I would rather vote for one of the creepy clowns that are terrorizing people.
He'd have to go by his maiden name and not his stage name, but Ken Bone could win. I'm just telling you. And that's the scary thing. It's been an embarrassment to this country to have it never be about the issues and the actual political stances.
Yeah.
Of either party and either candidate. It's been all about the mudslinging and the dirt, and it's been embarrassing for the entire country. That's all we have to say on that.
So we got some more feedback on this Brock Osweiler. Okay. It's too early. Brock hasn't even played 16 games. I thought they benched Mallett because he missed a team meeting. No, that was later. The first time he got benched, he was
mid-game.
Quote-unquote hurt. But then they wouldn't let him go back in the game when he wasn't hurt anymore. And
the
it was
Cleveland
because
game.
He had
well,
like,
he played well in the Cleveland the game. And it was like, he played well in the Cleveland game. The game after that
I think
that
it was the Colts game. Yeah, he had like 50 yards passing. And they were like, no, this ain't working, bro. Brock is a mistake. What else we got? Bro, this is from our boy Dr. Dre on 290. He said, Brock is like Chloe. Takes a lot of sacks. So that is a...
That may be the tweet. That's not only the tweet of the day.
That is beautiful.
That has to be right up there.
That is
we
so
we
beautiful.
Have to consider taking Dr. Dre on 290 and moving him from a beanbag chair or a temporary chair to more permanent seating because he is a loyal listener and he's got some pretty good stuff.
As a comic who knows how to write a joke, I can tell you that's a good joke. That the structure of it, the way it's written, it gets right to the point, the turn. Oh, that's beautiful.
Will you be Carlos Menciing that?
No, hell no. I don't steal any material. No, sir. Just not at all.
Based on those white jeans, that's good. That's good. You're not stealing that material.
We also got to vote for Pedro Tex. At this point, I would have more confidence in
close
Pedro.
Race. I'm telling you. It may be closer than you think. That's the scary thing. And on the work at hand that we can actually decipher between two teams or two sides.
Yeah.
We got the injury report from the Colts and the Texans today. From a Houston Texans perspective, Quinton Demps did not practice with a calf injury, so that might be a little bit of a concern. Ryan Griffin, concussion, still out. Jonathan Grimes, ankle. Jonathan Joseph, concussion. That also, if you lose both Demps and Joseph, you need to worry about your secondary with Luck. Derek Newton, ankle. Limited participation, Dwayne Brown, knee, but you expected that. Will Fuller, hamstring. That's not good. Also, Kareem Jackson and Braxton Miller with hamstrings. So you got several hamstrings and several concussions to deal with that may be a bit of a concern. From an Indianapolis perspective, nothing real serious because, I mean, you see Vontae Davis and you say, oh, God, one of their best corners is out. Frank Gore out, but they both say they're just rest and rest-related, not injury-related. Same with T.Y. Hilton's got a hip.
Yeah.
But interesting to see how this progresses before we get ready for the game because the hamstrings are what really concerned me. If you're dealing with Fuller, Kareem Jackson, and Braxton Miller, that's a concern. And then Demps' calf and Joseph's concussion. You don't need your secondary to be less than 100% when you're taking on Andrew Luck.
Well, Romeo Crennel had some comments about potentially missing three starting DBs.
The next man up, you know, all the guys here, they've been with us and they know the system. And like I always tell you, there are different ability levels, you know. And so I have to look at the ability level and see what I think a guy can get done and then try to help him as best I can. But generally, you call the defense and let the guys play. And then and if a guy's struggling, then you try to take some pressure off of him.
Well, I'll say this. Johnson's definitely going to get more time.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless. He's going to need him to play big.
So, you'll probably see Bouye play. If Demps is out, then Eddie Pleasant is up. So, that becomes a little bit scarier for me because I think this is a game that the Texans should win, and I think most people feel that way.
That's why I'm saying it's a big game. If they don't win this game...
Well, it's not a huge game.
I think it's huge.
But it's a division game.
But they're not really good. They don't have a really good track record.
But have you watched any Colts games this year?
Do you understand why they're saying terrible. Why this is such a huge game? Because they don't play well against the Colts, because they should beat the Colts.
On the road and at home.
And they're at home, and they're coming off another stinker, and they've already got their... Two blowout minimum they had last year. Only last year it was against Atlanta and Miami, and this year it's against Minnesota and New England. And it's time to either step up or shut up.
Dude, they've got 10 games left
after this.
I know
they do.
But as do the Colts, who are not a good team.
But understand my point, that if they lose this game, to your point that there's still 10 games left,
yeah.
Now the games that you could look at the schedule and go, that should be a win, that should be a win, that should be a this, that. You can't be so confident those should be wins if they can't even beat the Colts at home on a Sunday night.
Well, if they're missing three DBs, three starting,
okay, now you're making excuses
not backups,
already.
But if they're missing three starting DBs, that's a little bit different because right now they're relying on their defense.
Colts are going to miss Dante Moncrief, so there you go.
They're not going to be relying on their offense. Their three wins have been because of their defense. Let's face it. That offense hasn't put up, but now their defense let them down 27-0 and against the Vikings. But the wins that they have are because of that defense. That defense was playing well, except when you got to the good teams. So if you're missing starters and you're still expecting these guys to go out and do something against the Colts, then it becomes a scarier proposition.
I think it's a huge game.
It's still too early. If this was the second of the Colts games, which is what, in December?
You can't have a second one that means something if you don't win the first one.
Well, yeah, if you split with the Colts, you should be able to beat the Jags and Titans twice.
You absolutely should, but you can't have a big game in the second one that you said would mean more if you don't win the first one. If you lose the first one, then it's another huge game, but it may be too late. At that point, it may be too late to salvage the season, and instead of trying to get a split with the Colts, you know, you're worried about, well, God, if we're 0-2 against the Colts and we still have all these games to make up against them because we lost the first one and didn't play well, it might be an insurmountable mountain to climb to try and get in the playoffs.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, I don't know if it's a make or break season, but if they lose this
game,
but if they lose this game against the Colts and then they become a 500 team, I'm just concerned that they, you know, I feel like a 500 team for the Texans is like coming from behind anyway. It's like a losing record for the Texans.
I just think a third consecutive 9-7, even if they win the division, is a blown season. It's not even just a wash. It's a horrible season.
It's okay to be wrong, Joel.
Right, which you'll find out in time. You know what's right? And what? The fact that we bring energy. The fact that if we bring energy and you like it, well, let me tell you something about real energy. Infuse energy. Because they don't sell electricity. They sell a relationship, and they're there for you through thick and thin to make sure you get the best energy at the best price in a deal or package or plan that suits you the best way. They're never going to screw you to make a buck. In your relationship with them, they're going to be satisfactory at all times, and they're always going to be using their experience to get you the bottom line best price on energy. They will never be anything but 100% honest. And if that means something to you, they hate losing their business. And if you have a customer service issue, Josh, who's the CEO, will actually give you his cell phone number and you can call him directly to handle your customer service issues because he's that confident in the service that comes with the energy that should put a smile on your face. It's Infused Energy. And basically, whether you're a retail establishment or you're doing it for your home, Infused Energy uses green energy and they're always there for you at any time to do everything with affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And they provide energy for homes as well as businesses. They're Houston-owned and operated, and they will infuse energy into your life. You can sign up and choose a green plan, which will offset your electricity use with renewable energy credits. You can decrease your carbon footprint, and you can do it all with a local company. All you got to do is 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Join Infuse Energy today and enter the promo code ESPN975. You get a $25 bill credit right off the top. Infuse Energy.
ESPN975.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.